Today with Joseph Prince.
God bless and supply and anoint every minister, every ministry, every church that preaches and unveils the love of God. The people will end up loving God. They will end up loving one another. But for the lack of unveiling the love of God. So the first commandment, believe on the name of your son, Jesus Christ, is actually the opposite of the first tablet. The first tablet says, love me. But the first commandment, believe on the name, is that you must believe God so loved the world, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. But believe in my love to you. What is the new commandment? All right? Loving one another comes in a while's time. All right? As we see in the Last Supper. But here it's saying, believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the name of Son Jesus Christ is to believe that God loves you. So the law of Moses says what? Love me, God says. But the new commandment says what? Believe in my love for you. Receive it into your heart. And the more you believe it, you're keeping the new commandment. And whatever you ask, God will answer your prayer. Keep yourself in the love of God. I tell you this, it's amazing. When you know the love of God, it produces love in your heart. Are you ready for God's Word today? All right, praise the Lord. Let's go right into God's Word. And I want to answer some questions that people have, especially pertaining to the law. There's a lot of ignorance still. There are people who think that they are doing God's service, writing, you know, things and trying to influence people or preaching or saying things that they know nothing about the law. The Bible says the law was written for the unrighteous men. Amen. Everyone knows what's right. Everyone knows what's wrong. In their conscience, they know. They have to suppress that to live by a different lifestyle. They have to suppress their conscience. When God gave the law to man, God never gave the law as a main agenda. I said God never gave the law as His main agenda. God's main agenda is a relationship with Him based on grace. The same one that He had with Abraham. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. But God told Abraham, all right, Abraham, you know, I want you to leave your country and go here and have a relationship with me. All right, and Abraham just followed God. It was not the Ten Commandments. It was friendship with God. Abraham was the person in the Bible that God says is a friend. My friend. God calls Abraham my friend. In the book of James in the New Testament, it says Abraham was a friend of God. How many like to be a friend of God? Amen. Amen. God's friend. God confides in you everything. Praise the name of Jesus. And let me just say this to you. Being a friend, that he's not even cognizant of the Ten Commandments because it was not yet given. The Ten Commandments were given about 400 over years after the time of Abraham. And yet Abraham walked with God. So for those who insist that without the Ten Commandments, we cannot walk with God, let me tell you this. Abraham was a friend of God. And Abraham obeyed God in ways that would put to shame the average Christian today. Find when God says, bring your son to a mountain and sacrifice him, he was willing to even do that. Amen. Let me tell you this. By the way, God did not take his son. All right, it was a test. But the thing was this, he loved God. He was a man of faith. And the Bible says very clearly, believers, that when God gave the Ten Commandments, God knew that man could not. But man did not know he could not. So God had to give them the law to show that they cannot. God did not give the law for men to keep. God gave the law for men to know sin by. Are you listening? In fact, in Romans 5, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now, the last time I preached on the last line, but let me just show you the first line. Moreover, the law entered. The first part there, the law entered. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. You can just find a good concordance and look it up and look at a Greek word. All right? There are many of PC study Bibles now. You can look up the word, the law entered. The word entered. And I challenge any of you, look at the word entered. The word entered is actually to come in privately, to come in by stealth. Amen. It's not God's main agenda. The law came in by the sight. God's main agenda is grace. Are you listening? Galatians chapter 3, It says this, what purpose then does the law serve? This is a question I want to ask everybody. All right, those of you who hear, sometimes your friend telling you, you know, this idea is a dangerous doctrine. Okay, let me ask you, what is the purpose of the law? What does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Now, what does that mean? Many people don't even understand. It was added because of transgressions. The word added, this word here, prostiphemy. This word means to annex, to add alongside, to annex. You know what's to annex? That means you add to the main agenda. You add something. It was added to the main agenda. What's the main agenda that God had? Grace. It was added. Just now, the law entered. That word there is prosekomai, which is the word coming by stealth. The same word is used when the Apostle Paul was describing false brethren that came in by stealth to observe our liberty. Same word is used, prosekomai. And here is prostiphemy, which is the word annexed. The law was annexed to grace. Why? Because of transgression. The word because of is so that people will see sin as a transgression. As long as there's no law, it's not a transgression. It is a sin. We have sin, but we have not transgressed. Let me explain. If you go to a country where, you know, it is wrong to drive 60 kilometers an hour, all right? and you transgress that. Now, because there's a law there, you have transgressed. You are a transgressor. But before you were a transgressor, you were a sinner. Sin is in us. But the law was added to make sin a transgression, a trespass. Do you understand that? Amen? It was added to show man, this is a trespass. This is a transgression. If there's no law, doesn't mean there's no sin in man. There is sin, but it is not a transgression. So the law is to show how sinful we are, not how righteous you are in Christ. Can I have a good amen? Now we come to the question. The question is, are there no commandments in the New Testament? No, there are. There are. And our Lord Jesus himself said, I'm going to go right now to John. 1 John 3, verse 20. Let me read through the entire thing and then you'll have an idea where some confusion comes in. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And we all agree with that, right? Amen? Next. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. How many want that? Whatever we ask, we receive from God. Okay, Father, mark them, Lord. How many again? Let me see. Angels, take down notes. Okay. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Stop. If we had stopped there, a lot of people say, you see, and they'll be challenging you on the commands of Moses, what they call the Mosaic commandments, the Ten Commandments. Thank God, God explains it. I said, thank God. It goes on to say, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. All right? Now, when did He give us this commandment, our Lord? The last day of the Lord's Supper, before He died, He gave us this new commandment. In fact, in John 13, it tells us this, in John 13, verse 33 and 34, 34 and 35, a new commandment. Say new. Now, people, what I understand is new means what? New. You cannot read the Ten Commandments into this. Some people, when they see the commandment, they think Jesus is rehashing something. They think Jesus is saying what the Ten Commandments are saying, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. So some people say, well, the new commandment is the same. What did Jesus say? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, this is the antipodes of the Ten Commandments. It's the opposite. The Ten Commandments, the second one is what? There are two tables of the law. By the way, Moses came down. Moses is the first time medicine was ever mentioned in the Bible. Moses came down the mountain with two tablets. Oh, Father Pring, you're so corny. You're right. You are so smart. Yep, two tablets. And we still call it tablets today. It's back. Back in vogue, man. Some of you are sitting on there, you're reading your Bible on tablet. It's as old as Moses. And stiff too. Unbending. I prefer a book. Anyway, he came down with two tablets. The first set is God saying, love me. Four commandments of the ten. The second set is love men as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And neighbor there refers to Israel. It's for Israel. Just for Israel. All scholars will agree with this. It's not referring to loving the Ammonite, the Moabite, all right, loving the Philistine. It's referring to love your neighbor, neighbor Israelite. And how do you love him? As the Lord loves you? No, as yourself. Okay, got it? Are you with me so far? So, first set, first tablet, God is saying, in essence, love me with all you can, with all your heart. Second tablet, love your neighbor as yourself, he told Israel. Now, this new commandment, love one another. It's not love your neighbor. It's not no more Israel. It is all believers. Love one another as I have loved you. So it behooves us to find out how much he loves us. Or else, how can I love you? If I don't know how much he loves me, if I'm not focusing on how much of his on his love for me, how can I love you? Because the new commandment is love one another as I have loved you. So God bless every ministry that unveils from the pulpit the love of Jesus. They are helping you fulfill the new commandment. Amen. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's kind of sad because when you think about what the Lord says that the world will know us by, it's by our love for one another. It's not by our cross that we wear. Nothing wrong wearing a cross, all right? It's not by the words you speak. It's not by your saying you're a Christian or filling a form saying religion, Christian. It is by our love for one another, isn't it? God doesn't say love one another when you all share the same truths. Just say love one another. It's sad where the body of Christ is today. We should unite around the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, not around our petty differences. By this, all will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, go back to 1 John, okay? Whatever we ask, we receive from him. We want that because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, again, this two commandments, so to speak, all right, which is actually, by the way, just let you know that the entire passage here, four commandments, four times the word commandment is mentioned, which I think is an allusion to the first tablet, love me. But let me show you the difference. It's the opposite of the commands of Moses. I'll show you how it's the opposite, okay? The first one, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, what is the meaning of believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ? Now, whenever you find this, you find whenever Jesus Christ is mentioned in the context of the gospel, this is the same writer, John, who wrote in his gospel, a new commandment I give unto you. All right? This is the same John that said this. Listen, we love because he first loved us. All right? In fact, he went on to explain this chapter 3, right? Chapter 3. Next chapter, chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 19, you know what he says? We love because he first loved us. Now, your King James and your New King James put, we love him. Him is added, all right? But actually, we love him and we love one another because he first loved us. So it's the opposite. The commands of Moses, and I say Moses, people say, Pastor Prince, it's God's commandments. Yes, but you read carefully, the law was given by Moses. It's almost like God almost disassociates himself in the sense like God is saying, demands is from Moses, supply is from Jesus, my son. Supply is from me. Are you listening, people? Now, we love because he first loved us. We love because we love God and we love one another because he first loved us. God bless and supply and anoint every minister, every ministry, every church that preaches and unveils the love of God, the people will end up loving God. They will end up loving one another. But for the lack of unveiling the love of God. So the first commandment, believe on the name of your son, Jesus Christ, is actually the opposite of the first tablet. The first tablet says, love me. But the first commandment, believe on the name, is that you must believe God so loved the world, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in my love to you. What is the new commandment? All right? Loving one another comes in a while's time. All right? As we see in the Last Supper. But here it's saying, believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. To believe on the name of Son Jesus Christ is to believe that God loves you. So the law of Moses says what? Love me, God says. But the new commandment says what? Believe in my love for you. Receive it into your heart. And the more you believe it, you're keeping the new commandment. And whatever you ask, God will answer your prayer. Keep yourself in the love of God. Wow. I tell you this, it's amazing. When you know the love of God, it produces love in your heart. You don't need commandments. Even though it's a new commandment, that's why it's a play on words. It's like a new commandment, yet, you know, you don't even feel it's a commandment. The old commandment tells you do or die. The new commandment says, I know you are hungry. I command you, eat. I know you are tired. I command you, sleep. How hard is it? It's your nature to love. Amen. And then go back to 1 John 3. All right. The next one is, and love one another. And we know that this goes back to the Last Supper when He gave us a new commandment, as I have loved you. Okay. Hello. Now drop down to 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Oh, now we are about to have a definition of love. Are you all ready? We are about to have a definition of love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, this is the first part of the new commandment, all right? To believe that God loved us. Number two, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Second part of the new commandment. Because God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Our church, if you tell me I still believe in keeping the law, then John has done something wrong. Because John says, this is love, not that we love God. Hey, but loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind is the sum total of the law. And now John, bold-faced, tells us, love is not we loving God. Now, muse on that for a while. If you insist that we are still under law, John has done us wrong in teaching this. But no, friend. John is a disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast and heard the heartbeat of heaven. He is the one that says, this is love. It is not we loving God. It is not the law. It is He loved us and sent His Son. When no one cared, God cared and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that's why John, who wrote all this, remembered when he was a young teenager, leaning on Jesus' bosom, not trusting his love for the Lord, but resting in the Lord's love for him. He was the only one standing at the foot of the cross. All the disciples fled. There was one, though, one who boasted of his love. His name was Peter. Peter says, if all the other disciples forsake you, Lord, I will never forsake you. And where you go, I'll follow. You will always be my true love. My true love. Hey, y'all can scream at such bad singing. Something's wrong with you. I can sing better, actually. He boasted of his love for the Lord. John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loves. Doesn't have very reverend, most honorable, and all the kind of title. He just said, you want to give me a title? Call me the disciple whom Jesus loves. He was keeping the new commandment. And guess what? John was the one at the foot of the cross that was able to serve the Lord in his dying moments. John, Master, behold, your mother. He he adopted Mary as his mother. He says, "Woman, behold your son." He was able to give the Lord some comfort and relief in his dying moments. Want to be used by God? You know, those, there are five times that phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loves. This in another sermon, okay? I won't go into it. Five times that phrase is used. And every time it's used, you find John loving Jesus. It's amazing. The more conscious you are seeing yourself as the Christian, as the believer whom Jesus loves, as the one Jesus loves, you love him most. And John wasn't conscious he was loving the Lord most. No wonder 1 John is so full of beloved, 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 beloved. Beloved, you read that just now, right? Beloved. And beloved is agapitos. Agapitos. You know what's agapitos? He's saying, you loved ones, listen, you loved ones, if our heart condemn us, you loved ones, behold what manner of love the Father, you loved ones. We need to always remind one another that we are loved. Remind our children that they are loved. And husbands, be patient with your wife. When the Bible says, husbands, love your wife, it sounds so romantic. We think, love, yeah, baby, I love you, baby. And our thoughts are a different kind of love, you know what I'm saying? You're not the kind of love. How about this definition of love? The first definition, or rather the first characteristic, love suffers long and is kind. So husband, love your wife. How about this? Husbands, suffer long with your wife. Are you married? And be kind. That means that there must be a reason why you're suffering long. I'll close with that. My time is up. Give him praise. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love because he first loved us. Amen, church? Amen. What is prayed earnestly? It's a prayer of command. Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be thou pulled up by the roots, and it would obey you when you command. You must know he is there. It is him who makes the difference.
Get your copy of Does God Hear Me? Answering Tough Questions About Prayer 3 CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. Join Joseph as he reveals the key to praying powerful prayers and discover why you can pray knowing that God always hears you. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive Make Wisdom Your Number One Prayer Request 3 DVD album and an NKJV Amplified Parallel Large Print Bible. Need help making decisions in life? Learn how you can receive God's divine guidance in every area of your life.
Jesus says only one thing is necessary. He makes life simple. Sit at his feet, spend time with him. So every time you talk to Jesus, you don't even know what you're doing, right? But you know what? It's always something good. You're able to see things that others don't see.
Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.